What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm no good at taking good advice, and I'm self-careless, so don't tell me twice that lately I've been so stuck in my head that I forget just about everything my therapist said. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe I'm self-helpless. Maybe we are all self-helpless.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Self-Helpless podcast. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And Happy New Year, baby.
Yeah. What's up?
January 1st, 2024. So futuristic.
We did it. Oh, we did it. What a fucking year.
What a year.
Peace out, 2023. Go fuck yourself.
Delaney had a year. Delaney really had a year.
I'm done.
Yeah, it was a crawling across the finish line. Barely holding it together sort of year in a lot of ways.
Yes.
We thought that we would do not just a year in general recap, but a year of the podcast recap. So we are going to go through each episode that we recorded in 2023 and just talk about our favorite takeaways from it, favorite moments, things that blew our mind. And I'm really excited. Yeah. As I was scrolling through our list of episodes, I was like, oh God, we got some really good ones. Good guess.
Me too. I would say some of my favorite episodes ever were this past year. I mean, I feel like I say that every year because yeah. There's just so many good ones, but, and just incredible guests who really like get very vulnerable. They just share so much wisdom that we've never heard before. I mean, I'm very excited. Yeah. So yeah. Kelsey, yeah. You want to plug your tour dates? Where are you at this year?
For sure, yeah. The Mark Your Territory tour is starting up. I am going to be in San Diego January 18th through the 20th at the American Comedy Company. And I also, I believe, am going to be having a show in LA the week after that. So if you follow me on social media, it's at Kelsey Cook Comedy, or if you go to my website, kelseycook.com, check and see if I've added a date yet, because we currently have one in the works, and I get asked a lot from LA people when I'm going to be performing there. So it should be in January. It should be this month. And Awesome. Then I, in February, I will be in Tacoma, Philly, New Jersey, Stamford, Connecticut. In March, I will be in San Francisco, Rosemont, Chicago, Minneapolis. April 6th, I'm taping my special in Madison, Wisconsin. I'll be there that whole weekend, April 4th through the 6th. And then Sacramento, Salt Lake City, Vegas, Denver, Kansas City, and Timonium, which is the Baltimore area. So kelseycook.com for those tickets, like I said. And yeah, come see me.
Fabulous. Very nice. If you want to listen to another podcast, I have one called Career Crush. You can find it at DelaneyFisher.com. It's a private show, but completely free. And then when you join the list over there, also a totally free list, free community. I share a lot of different like cool media and career opportunities. You know, people have gotten featured in magazines from the postings that I'll share with them. They get different gigs. There was a gig for a screenwriter recently, different artists. We did a little like virtual art gallery. It's just a bundle of fun over there. And what's really cool is if I'm looking to hire a contractor for a project, if I'm looking for a guest for Career Crush, anything, I immediately, like, my list is my first stop to do that. So, you know, there's certain things that I share on there that I don't share anywhere else. And so if any of that, you know, strikes your fancy, come on over. DelaneyFisher.com. It's all free. Yeah. It's all fun. It's all weird.
Free, fun, and weird are probably my top three words I would use to describe you. You're a free, odd spirit. Also, my podcast with Chad is out called Pretend Problems. So, like Delaney said, you're here listening to a podcast, which we assume means that you're podcast people. So, if you're looking for another one, go listen to Pretend Problems and subscribe. We're having a blast with it.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. Well, we have a quote today.
That is actually, well, you've said it. It's not your direct quote. But
not my
We need to hear it again. And I think it's probably the best possible quote to start a new year with.
Yeah, I agree. Like this one really, I would, and this is, you know, looking back at our last 12 months of episodes we've done, this is a quote that really, I think, stands out to me probably the most. Yep. So I heard it from a woman named Heidi Rain, who does a podcast about like codependence and addiction recovery and things like that. And she, I don't know if it's her quote, but she basically said that, you know, if you struggle with codependency, you have to stop asking yourself how much you can tolerate, and you instead need to ask yourself how good can you let things get. And I thought that was fucking magical, because if you grew up in conflict or chaos or a lot of just a lot of moving parts, right? You had to learn how to survive and sometimes thrive in chaos and and bullshit and you know, all that kind of stuff. And so you're just, your tolerance level might be a little bit different, but it doesn't mean that's a great or healthy thing for you. And I think a lot of us don't realize, like, oh, yeah, no, your life could be actually really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
If you
can
let
you just
it.
Say it one more time. I know I asked you to repeat it the other episode, but just say it one more time. I just need
Sure. So you need to stop asking yourself how much you can tolerate and instead ask yourself how good can you let things get?
God, there's some, just the wording of it.
Oh, I know. It's just perfect. It's so solid. Heidi Rain does not realize how life-changing that saying that quote on her podcast was, but she's definitely somebody I need to, you know, we need to have like on the show. But that quote, just like something in my brain will never be the same again after that quote.
Yeah. There's something about the wording of how good can you let things get?
Yes.
Because it implies that you stand in your own way.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's been an actual quote, but I think we've talked a lot on the show about the concept of that humans will continue to do the same patterns even if they know that they are bad for them.
Oh, right.
But
right.
It's because it's what feels familiar. And so it actually feels safer to do something that is to your detriment because at least you know it.
Yes, you know you can survive it. I think that was from Katie Norton's episode when we talked about learned helplessness, which was also this past year. She was great.
Right, right, yes. And so this whole idea of like how good can you let it get?
Right.
I think I've been pretty codependent with my work, actually. Mm. Like I think I've been in a relationship with stand-up where I just think I have to do things a certain way. Right. And it's just, I've had some wake up calls recently of like, oh, I actually have to change. I just have to change my relationship with work, and I have to change myself. Like, I think I've put, it's like what you were talking about, where you've put so much of your identity into succeeding in this very specific way. And oh my God, again, the quarter life crisis continues.
Oh, 1,000%. And yeah, like that's the thing. Codependency affects every area of your, like every relationship that you have with yourself, with your work, with the people that you love, like all that. It permeates everything. I also, like, I love that quote, how you do one thing is how you do everything. That is a very fascinating quote to me as well. Because it's like, look, if you're codependent in your work life, chances are it's leaking to other spots and vice versa. And if you can just focus on the core of where that comes from, it'll just kind of, you know, by default, shift things in every other area. So,
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Yeah. Did we talk about how there's this trend on TikTok right now, or at least one girl's video went viral, but I think it is starting to become a trend, of living a softer life?
No, please explain. Please elaborate.
This girl was talking about how she is trying to live a softer life in every way, and that for her that means that she's been really conditioned to kind of like be on the grind always. It's like waking up and like immediately having a cup of coffee on an empty stomach. It is doing like high intensity workout classes. It is working constantly. It is like, it's this like harder, grindy life. Right. And that she's starting to try to look at every area of her life and be like, how can I soften this? And that she has started doing less intense workouts, more like Pilates yoga-based workouts, or starting her mornings with like tea instead of coffee and changing her work schedule. And that it's just making her whole life and the way she takes care of herself just easier, softer, better. And so, I've definitely been like a real grinder my whole life.
So I feel like the
soften up too.
The soft, that's a nice way to put it. I feel like I've been trying to do that the last several years, slowly but surely. But like, I think that brings up, I think we have to ask ourselves who benefits from us being burnt out, overworked. Like, people make a lot of money off of us when we are everywhere all the time, spending money, making money, being on all the things. Like, we're being profited off of all the time, right? And so it's like, oh, that's always a fascinating thing. It's like, I love that question, who benefits from this? Especially when you feel like you're not, who does? You know, like, where did this come from? What is this conditioning all about? So, I love that.
Or even if you benefit from it, it's like, but how, like, to what detriment? Or like, how much do you actually need? Like, maybe you are making great money, but it's like, at what cost for other things in your life?
Exactly. You should check out our, what was it? Defining Enough episode, where we talked about like, what is enough money? What is enough accomplishment? What is enough free time, self-care, you know? Like, if you don't know that shit, you have no compass guiding you, and you will just work and work. And then you're like, oh, I mean, I remember getting into that pattern of just like working, 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 and then realizing, oh shit, I actually have hit my goal of making enough and figuring out like what I like to spend money on and all that stuff. But I didn't realize it because I didn't take one fucking second to just reflect and be like, oh, I can stop doing these things.
Yeah.
So yeah. Incessantly, you know, it's just a wild mindfuck. Well,
it's
what's on your list? That was just the intro.
Oh, God, help us. Just always trying to get.
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, let's talk about January of 2023. Some of those episodes. We did, I think it was a solo episode for me that talked about 20 tips for navigating winter blues. Mm. I enjoyed doing that episode. That was just nice to like kind of recalibrate and just remember to take care of yourself because you're not getting as much sun in a lot of parts of the world. And it can really impact you. We did an episode about being authentic and I had on one of my all-time favorite YouTube beauty gurus, Jamie Page, and it was such a thrill. That was so fun to have her on. And then we did the human design episode.
Oh, right.
Do you remember with Crystal?
Yes. Fascinating.
I need to go back and look at that reading again. Because she emailed it to me.
Creepily accurate. Creepily.
What the fuck? I mean, it's right. Nuts. It's witchcraft. It's wizardry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand how that can be so accurate, but it was. And after that, we did the Stutz documentary.
Oh.
With Jonah Hill. And
that made
I
my
still
list.
Have takeaways from that all the time.
Oh my God. The shitty pearl necklace.
The shitty pearl necklace.
So yes. Good. That has made me feel so much better. And like, look, everything is gray area. Like there's good things about it. There might be shitty things about it. There's whatever in different parts. Yes. And that makes me feel so much better because it makes me feel like there is really no wrong decision. There's pros and cons to all of your choices. Yeah. And how can I just maximize the good things? Like, how can I just really double down on that and focus on that? And that just, that reveal in that documentary, I've been like, look, I've been trying to bullshit and, you know, make this look a certain way. And here's the reality. That was super memorable and just a big, I don't know. I felt like such a big weight off my shoulders with my own perfectionism. But yeah, that was on my list of memorable moments from the past year.
Yeah, it has absolutely helped my perfectionism to just almost like guarantee myself like something's going to not go the way you thought it would.
Right.
Because it's just like perfect doesn't exist.
Right.
I think I really, for some reason, despite doing a self-help podcast for so long, have such deep-rooted thoughts on perfectionism and that it can be attained in certain ways. So that documentary helped a lot. What were some of your takeaways from that month?
Well, I didn't really go by month. I just kind of, I scrolled through our episodes and the ones that jumped out at me, I realized I wanted to talk about.
Oh, I gotcha. Totally.
So I don't know if you're okay, like,
of course,
going out of
yes.
order. Okay. So one thing very memorable, kind of a, just memorable. I don't want to say I have like applied it necessarily, is that all females can squirt. Did you remember?
Oh my God. Yes.
That episode that we did.
That
was very fascinating. Just like all the things that I personally have yet to explore when it comes to sexual things, you know, that got lodged somewhere in my brain and is also never leaving. So that was interesting.
Yes. Same.
One thing that popped out of me is when I saw our Love is Blind episode, and we were talking about how one of the couples, the girl said something like, don't let housework problems become relationship problems. I don't know. We talked about like the different moments in the episode, and I got to say, I could not disagree more. I would say that housework and chores and things like that, if you feel like you are not being heard or respected or whatever in those like little day-to-day things or what could seem minute or whatever, that it could be like a core issue in other areas. So like when I remember I think she mentioned that they had been together a year or something, and it's like, sometimes we bicker about the chores or something, but we're trying not to let that become relationship problems or something. I was like, sounds like you're the messy one, and sounds like it sounds like you need, you know, several more years into your relationship. Then we'll see how you feel about that. But I just feel like it could be anything. It could be whether it's the dishes or planning a vacation or whatever. I think certain relationship things can manifest in those day-to-day duties. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you're not being supported or listened to, that is a much deeper problem than just the dishes, you know, permeates everything. So I don't know, that really struck out to me because I think we had mentioned it, but I didn't voice my huge disagreement of that message at that time. Yeah. And we probably glossed over it, but I feel like,
interesting.
No, I think that is relationship issues that should be addressed together, individually, whatever, outsourced, whatever.
Yeah, I think that it can really be a reflection of how much you're willing to take care of the relationship.
Right.
And it's not always the case. I'm sure there are people who are just in general very messy people and they don't mean for it to become a burden on others. But yeah, right. I think like having that kind of new, like just moved in together energy where you're like, okay, how do you like things? I really like do my best to do that.
Right.
I think a lot of couples try hard right when they move in together and then you get comfortable and sometimes people don't keep up with it. But I think you're right. I think it's a really good indication if somebody is still willing to like be on top of their shit.
Totally. And yeah, just not just about like who's messy or who's not, that, you know, it's more just like, are you willing to meet each other in the middle and figure it out as a team? And you know, but that really jumped out at me when I saw that.
So I more like went through month to month. And so, you know, just talking about January, February was a very big month for me on the podcast because we had on Dr. Sharisha, who talked about adrenal insufficiency. And then I ended up speaking with her privately afterward. And she's actually who helped like convince me to do an IUD because I was losing so much blood with my period at the time that she was like, you know, you really could become anemic. And so huge shout out to her for really kind of getting me on this path of, you know, I'm still trying to get to the bottom of some of these period issues, but I will say that having the IUD has really helped with the heaviness of my period. And so if you're somebody who is struggling with it and you are unsure, I just will say for me, the Mirena IUD did help at least like way, way, way cut back on the amount, which ultimately is better. You don't want to be losing so much blood that you're getting depleted of iron and all of that. So
yeah,
that was a big episode for me. And then, you know, I ended up opening up about my mom having dementia, which it's so wild because I'm, you know, looking at our podcast episode list and I'm like, oh, wow, that was in February after my mom had already had it for like over 2 years at that point. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of become one of those things where as soon as I finally opened up publicly about it, now, I mean, I've talked about it probably more episodes than not since then because it's felt so nice to get to talk about it and not try to just deal with it more silently and more privately. Mm. And yeah, so I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I'll say it until I don't have a voice anymore from saying it a million times. But those of you who have either gone through something similar or are going through something similar and wrote into the podcast, you know, our producer forwarded me those emails and I just, from the bottom of my heart, cannot thank you enough for taking the time to share with me what you have gone through and just know that it has helped me feel so much less alone. And I just hope you know that if you are going through something like that, you are not alone. You know, there are online communities that you can talk to. I've been going to a support group now over Zoom a couple times a month, and my heart just goes out so much to anybody going through the dementia stuff. It feels like there is nothing harder in the world. So anyway, just thank you to our amazing community for giving me this space to talk about it. And and being so receptive to what it's like.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
What are some other things that stood out to you?
I would say a big one for me was having Corinne Crabtree on the podcast to talk about like weight loss. And she hosts the Losing 100 Pounds podcast. Mm-hmm. And her approach to it is so great. I had listened to her podcast for a couple months before inviting her on. And just the approach of it's all about self-love and self-worth, and it's not about diets and restrictions and beating yourself up and all of that and punishment and all that. And one thing that she said on her podcast one time that really, again, just like flipped something in my brain and I will never go back is just, you know, I've kind of talked about, I've definitely had compulsive eating stuff and overeating and all that. And this past year is really when I feel like I have gotten control over that and have been able to manage that. And it's a big thanks to this podcast. But she had said on there something like, at one point, leaning into food or using food to cope or whatever was the best option that you had. So thank yourself for going to do that. It could have been a lot worse in certain areas, right? So why don't you thank yourself saying, you know, I appreciate that this is the coping mechanism that you used. We now are in a different place and we can use something else now. But basically,
that's so nice,
right? It just kind of like, yeah, don't guilt yourself into it. Like think of what you could have done instead, I guess. Right. Yeah. And that's what you, that's what helped, you know, whether you feel like shit about it or not, that actually helped you get through things and get through difficult situations. So now that you can thank yourself for doing the best you could at that time, let's talk about some other ways you can do this now, you know, with more information as like your new self. But I mean, yeah, I've lost like 22 pounds. And
Delaney, that's incredible. Congratulations. Oh,
thank you. And a lot of people wouldn't, you know, maybe know by, you know, stereotypically looking at me that I have struggled with a lot of just overeating and eating when I'm sad, when I'm anxious, when I'm happy, like just all of it. And, now I really know where that internally comes from a lot more. Like, you know, if you grew up with family members who overate or you were concerned about their health, when I was younger, I would do a lot of eating to try to save them so they didn't get sicker. And so I have a hard, you know, I just realized where things come from now. Like, okay, when there's why do leftovers make me so anxious? I feel like if I don't eat them, somebody else will, and that's killing them, right? But you know that's not logical, but these are so deeply ingrained, you know? Or when you feel like there's chaos, you know, for me, if something chaotic was going on, my loved ones could come together over food, and it was this sense of peace and safety and all of that, kind of like a reprieve from other things going on. Like everybody could agree on what to eat and sitting down and enjoying a meal. So I realized that that would always be like my comfort and chaos and stuff. But anyway, I really enjoyed having her on the podcast, and all of her tips have been so doable and actionable. And I mean, she is probably the person that really actually helped me, you know, kind of figure this out for good instead of like a temporary fix, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I'm so thrilled for you. And I'm so sorry for the things you had gone through. Cause God, that's food stuff is so hard. Cause you have to eat to live. Right. And so, if your relationship with it is as complicated or tied to trauma, it's so hard to navigate. So I'm very proud of you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
One of the episodes that stood out to me the most from March of last year was when we had Dr. Martinez on, who then became my therapist, who I just adore. She's just the best. But we did an episode called Healing Generational Trauma, because that's one of her specialties. And man, I mean, it's partly what you just talked about with the food stuff. It's like this sort of generational trauma that gets passed down, you know, depending on what the internal family systems were before you even were alive, right? Your parents' relationships with their parents and their relationships with their parents before that. There's just so much to unpack. And that was just a very eye-opening episode. And she's just like this light of a human being. She has made my life so much better. And I just, yeah, I feel very grateful to have her in my life.
Oh, yeah. I wrote down something from her episode. She blew my mind when she talked about how we actually carry the trauma biologically from being inside like our mother's womb, right? Like your DNA actually changed or something as a fetus because of whatever trauma, you know, your parent was, it had experienced. Like, I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. Just nuts. So we loved having her on. We also did the episode with Claudia Barfoot about the importance of your dreams.
Yes, I have that written down too.
Okay, yeah.
Loved that so much.
That forever changed how I think about my dreams and really taking them more seriously and listening to them and trying to interpret what I'm feeling. So I loved it.
Oh my gosh. I had been so resistant on like listening to dreams in a certain way. But yeah, ever since that episode, I really use them as a tool. And I try to reflect on them when I wake up. Like, okay, I remember this part of the dream. What is this maybe trying to tell me? What am I processing? All of that. And since that episode, let me tell you something. You really should listen to your dreams, because sometimes your body is picking things up that you just aren't aware of quite yet, or whatever, your intuition, and it's trying to get something to you when you are sleeping or whatever. And I was having these reoccurring dreams for almost a year. And I was like, why am I having this dream over and over again? Is it unprocessed trauma or this or that? Yeah. And then that dream came true. I realized something that had been happening that my dreams had been trying to tell me for almost a fucking year. And then those dreams went away once it was all like, you know, out in the open, revealed, all that stuff. It was so wild. And now I'm like, I'm not dismissing my dreams anymore. If there is something recurring happening, or if there is something that feels like a message, that I'm not going to say that it's bullshit. I'm really going to actually take it into account. And we talked about like just the importance of listening to your body and stuff on that episode as well. And how, you know, if we're all balls of energy, basically, like we're all made out of energy, it's like it makes sense that you can sense things that, and you don't really know how you can and all of that. And I had another weird experience where I had my very first panic attack a few months back, a couple months ago or something. And I had never really had one before. And I'm like, where's it coming from? It felt like a little bit out of nowhere. And then I realized, looking back, that I had been lied to about something that day, not realizing it. And so I think my body was picking up like there's like danger here. It's like not safe or something. And I was like, what's going on? I feel fine, I think. You know, like, why is this coming up? And so I just, the importance of looking at your dreams, your mental health, your physical health, your well-being holistically, like it's all connected, instead of compartmentalizing and separating things. Yeah. I've just learned a big lesson about that. And that one was a big takeaway.
Yeah, I was going to say too, something that I just learned via Googling is that it's pretty common for women to have nightmares the few nights leading up to their period starting, because your hormones are dropping and like your body temperature's raising at night. Like, you know, all the fucking joys of hormones and period stuff.
Yeah.
But I have had bad nightmares the last couple nights, and I was like, what? Like, why is this happening? And I Googled it, and they said that that's super common. So anyway.
Oh, how weird.
If you've experienced stuff like that, just know.
Now, do you think that was for the purpose of letting people know your period is coming when we didn't have tracking apps back in the day? Of like, hey, listen, you're going to want to get some leaves or something, because get to a quiet, safe place. Like, I'm just like, why? How? How? That is so cool and weird.
Yeah. I know. I love how your brain works. I love your fascination with, like, why, from a biological standpoint, like, back in caveman times, would this have been? Because you're so right. I mean, just so weird. Very possible. I don't know.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
I really enjoyed the episode that we did about Oracle decks with Lucy Sherman. And I think we had talked about Oracle decks on several different episodes and how I just really enjoy them as a tool for setting an intention or meditation or just a little bit of magic in your day because you don't know what card you're going to get. You don't know what message you're going to get. And I pulled an Oracle card recently and there was a really cool quote or like, maybe not a quote. What are those things called? A parable? Anyway, I'll share with you, right? Yeah. When I have an Alana Fairchild deck, and the kind of parable situation was basically talking about the wind and the sun, how you can kind of try to use force with something, or you can just kind of be yourself. Mm-hmm. And the situation is basically like a person is walking down the street. How do you get them to, like, talking about the weather, what kind of weather gets them to actually take their coat off? So the wind tries to get them to take their coat off by storming them around them and all these types of things and using a lot of force, and you know, the person almost loses their jacket but is able to kind of put it back on. And the sun just beams really bright. Yeah. and the person gets hot and takes off their jacket and walks down the street, right? So it's like this, that really just stuck with me of like, yeah, there's more than one way to do something. And what if you just backed away from like the forceful pushing of things and just kind of stand your ground and be?
Yeah.
You know?
I love that.
I like that one a lot.
We should call this episode "I Love That" because I think I've said it 90,000 times. We also, I think, focused a lot this year on trying to get our sleep right and like getting like good rest and taking care of ourselves. So we did an episode on 12 tips for great sleep and just like sleep hygiene, which I've really tried to take more seriously, the whole idea of like the wind down before bed and the whole doing things that your future self will thank you for.
Yeah.
Just I've gotten really back into reading before bed again and doing a lot of like somatic therapy sort of things, like tapping parts of your body to release tension and stress. And yeah, that's been a very helpful thing we've talked about. And also, I liked our episode a lot about biggest mistakes we've made with money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just trying to, like, impart some wisdom for people who maybe are younger than us or are just unsure of how they should be spending their money or what they should be doing. And we're certainly not perfect, but I liked talking about that with you and kind of where our money mindsets have come from.
Oh, definitely. I think for me, I've learned a lot from like my money missteps, I guess, where it's like, you know, if I could go back in time, I probably wouldn't spend money on that thing. But then again, here's all the things that I learned from it, you know? So it's like, okay, would I have been able to learn those lessons without making those mistakes? I don't think so, actually. You know, so I like, right. If you could learn from somebody else's mistake without having to do it yourself, I hopefully you can, right? Because right. I think there was certain things that I only learned from going through it. But if I had heard somebody talk about it, I think I would have been able to avoid it better, you know? But yeah, there's just, I think all my kind of things that I wish I would have done differently is just this kind of all or nothing mindset about money. Either I got to hoard it all or spend it all. Yeah. Or, you know, get it out of my account or whatever. And really have found just a happy medium with that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be black and white. And just, you know, being comfortable with things just kind of sitting where they're at. Yeah. And also just not like giving your power away and giving your money away to things that you're not 1,000% sure about. Like we talked about, you know, Kelsey's shared about like getting into the pyramid scheme situation, stuff like that, right? Or, you know, yeah, you know, those types of situations or, right. You know, maybe taking a big loan out on something that maybe you didn't really want after, you know, you didn't really want that bad, whatever it is. Yeah. But for me, it's like just being a hell yes on how I spend money now, where in the past I'm like, I'll do it, but it wasn't a hell yes. And I think much more mindful about that.
Yeah.
I loved the enmeshment trauma episode with, was it Kate Bastieri? Bastieri? Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. So many things on that episode blew my mind that she said, especially of how our patriarchal society impacts enmeshment trauma as well. Mm-hmm. And because she said something like, you know, men are conditioned to basically divorce themselves from their emotions and, you know, very sad, right?
Yeah.
But then what happens because of that, then you'll see a lot of enmeshment relationships and issues with mother sons and mother daughters, basically. You know, I'm kind of generalizing there a little bit, but that was very fascinating how just how systemic it is,
right? And how we feel often this kind of responsibility to take on everybody's energy, make sure everybody around us is happy. I felt myself doing it on the road recently. I was in the green room and, you know, it felt like there were a lot of people in there who maybe didn't know one another, but they knew me. And I felt this overwhelming sense of responsibility to like make sure everybody was having a good time talking and doing okay. And then I just paused. I like didn't do anything. And I just told myself like, you're at work. Like you need to just focus on your work. Right. Everybody here is an adult. They'll be fine. If they're not having a good time, they can leave. Like, you know what I mean? It just was, and it's always in a situation too where I'm sure everybody truly is completely fine and having a totally fine time. I just, it's like this over the top trying to make sure. And I feel like that's a lot of the enmeshment stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Such a good one. We did an episode on how being children of divorce has influenced our relationships.
Yes.
That was a big one. I know we've talked about being children of divorce several times over the years on the show, but just like really specifically talking about how it can impact your self-worth and, you know, these deep-rooted things that maybe you don't even realize it's impacted you until you're in a relationship and you're like, oh, why do I think like this?
Oh, and it's
from your childhood.
Yeah, my biggest aha around that I kind of shared was that I realized how uncomfortable I was with undivided attention.
Right.
Like I from men specifically. And so I didn't even realize that until, you know, my husband and I were having a conversation that was like about, I don't know, hour and a half long. And I've just got this wave of uncomfortability of like, I feel so uncomfortable and almost unworthy that you're talking to me for this long, this undividedly, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where does this come from? You know? And it's like, no, you know, being a child of divorce, it's like, look, I'm very grateful. Like I have four parents who love me. Both my parents remarried and everybody did the best that they could. And there's things with divorce that nobody can change. Like, that's just, there's nothing my parents can do to fill the gap of what that experience is like. And with me being the oldest of four siblings on one side of my family, there was a lot of little kids in the house and babies crying and, you know, really like urgent needs of taking care of them. And so as the independent older kid, my attention was kind of sporadic. And so I realized like I just got very used to that kind of a thing and how detrimental that has been for my emotional connections and emotional intimacy.
This is it's been a a very productive year emotionally. I think we've both learned a lot. Ultimately all we can do. I think both of our last big takeaways from this year, or I'm sorry, from the previous year, was the episode we did on 10 simple safety tips that you need to know. And we had on former deputy sheriff Joy Farrow and a technologist and domestic violence survivor Laura Frombach. And they really gave us so many things that are just like, we will have this knowledge for forever on how to keep ourselves safer on the road, at home, you know, for our listeners who are on dating apps. It's one of those ones where it's like you'll leave the episode feeling just so much more prepared, I think, to be out in the world.
Oh, absolutely. What a relief when I was telling them, like, I feel like I have to strategize when I walk my dogs. Like, if there's a coyote, I got to throw them in a trash can or to hide them or jump somebody's fence. And they're like, or you can just get this spray. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't have to be the neighborhood's ninja. I can just buy this spray and keep it in my pocket. Or I walk with a little fanny pack, whatever. Like, just those things that just give you a little bit more peace of mind in your day to day. You don't realize how much those things weigh on you when you're just going about doing basic things.
Oh, so we hope that you guys had as much fun listening to our 2023 episodes as we did recording them. I feel like we, like I said, we learned a lot, and hope that it helped you guys too.
Amen.
Do you have a segment?
I sure do. Let's see. I just had a really nice week with my family. Right now we're recording. This is Thanksgiving week, so I'm excited to be catching up with some family that's coming into town for the holiday. And so those are good things that are happening. And I feel like, oh, you know what I could share? I could share a little woo-woo moment with you, Kels, please, if you'd like. Because I feel like we did some woo-woo episodes this past year. But okay, again, I might sound like a total nut, but I was by myself in my home and I was just really missing my grandparents the other night a lot. And God, do I want to share this? I was just kind of like, look, if you guys are here in any way, shape, or form, will you just let me know? I might be totally crazy talking to myself out loud, but like, I just miss you. I want you to, and like, you can throw all the grandparents in there. I mean, if you know, I was like, just anybody who wants to say hi, I'm open to it, whatever. I kid you not, dude. I was watching TV. My dog started barking at our front window. So I had to pause the TV and I had to go and get the dogs to stop barking at nothing that was outside. And then I come back to the TV and we have our captions on our TV. And the words that are on my fucking TV say, yes, absolutely. And what maybe some of you do not know, I'll show YouTube, is I have a tattoo. I tattooed the word absolutely on my arm. And what it is all four of my grandparents' writings weaved together from different cards and things that they wrote me. And I was like, whoa, that's fucking weird. I'm sorry. Oh, that's fucking weird. Literally within 10 seconds of me saying that, feeling like a total dumbass for even allowing myself to say something like that out loud. And then my dogs bark, I have to pause the TV. And that's the message. Was really weird because I also said, like, all my grandparents, if y'all want to say hi, you know what I mean?
I have goosebumps head to toe right now.
I love the woo. You know I love it.
I know you do. And I think you make the rest of us a little bit more because the stories are insane. Like
insane. And so I like, oh my God, I unpause the TV And within another minute, one of my grandfather's favorite songs, Danny Boy, started playing on this TV show that I was watching. And Danny Boy's like an old Irish classic, but it's not like a top 100 hip hop song. So I'm like, that's fucking weird. And then my TV went out and I had to sit in silence for 10 minutes because it stopped working. And I was like, okay, you guys didn't have to break my fucking TV. Okay, I get it. No. Yeah, it was weird. So I was just like, Cam wasn't home. And I was like, Cam, I got something weird. I got some weird shit to tell you.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, so, that's that was worth sharing for sure.
So there's some woo for you. You know, I just like to believe that shit. Why not? It's fun.
Yeah, I'd like to believe it too.
If anything, it's fun. Yeah. Anyway, what do you got, Kels?
Oh my gosh. And you know what? Before I share my segment, I would be remiss if I did not mention this. It just didn't pop in my mind because the episode hasn't, in real time, hasn't been released yet, but it will be out by the time this episode comes out. But our grief episode with Krista, my God. Yeah. I mean, that was a top five most impactful episode for me of the year, perhaps the whole podcast itself.
So good.
Yeah. If you listen to that episode, you know that there like really aren't words to describe what she's been through, what her strength is, and what her like what a gift she gives back to people to talk about it and to talk about how to navigate grief. And God, I mean, there's so many misconceptions about it, and I just think the things she shared that episode are invaluable. If you have not listened to that episode yet, please go and listen to it. It either came out maybe like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, but
could not agree more. That things that she said about the five stages, really, I didn't know that they were actually meant for hospice patients, and that we've used them for other things, and they don't always match up with, you know, everyday grief. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what people need to know, this shit. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, or that it implies that grief ends, that there's like a finish line for grief, and that if you don't stop grieving at some point, that you are a failure. And it's like, in reality, it is the exact opposite. Like you don't stop grieving ever. Right. Like you miss people, you go through loss, and like the restorative activities versus the feeling it activities. My God, I just, you guys, what an episode. So anyway, another huge moment this past year on the podcast.
Yes.
My segment is a massive the fuck. I got so sick over the weekend. I had a show in Huntsville, Alabama. I had two shows in Nashville the night before, then one in Huntsville, and I was supposed to go to Atlanta the next day for a couple nights of shows. And we don't know if it was food poisoning from something I ate the night before or if it was the stomach flu, but I woke up at like 6 a.m. in my hotel room and had intense stomach pain, went to the bathroom. We'll try to not be super graphic for you guys, but basically like had the backs and fronts for like 3 straight hours and then started to pass out on the toilet, and then like tried to get off the toilet, started to pass out again. Ended up having paramedics had to come to the hotel. My blood pressure was low and like not looking good. Went to the hospital in an ambulance, was in an Alabama hospital for almost 7 hours. It was a true fucking nightmare. It was so scary. One of those moments where it's like, oh, we really all only have our health.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when that shit happens and you really fear for like, okay, like what is going to happen now? It makes you stop and reflect and be like, you have to take care of yourself. And I will say, it's not like, you know, you can't control if you get food poisoning. Like we all do our best. You can't always control if you get the stomach flu. I do think I run my immune system down more than probably the average person with the amount of travel I do. But it was just like, it was horrible. We had to cancel the shows in Atlanta. So any sweet Atlanta helpsters, we are rescheduling for this year, for 2024. So stay tuned for that. But it was a huge ordeal. And then I had to fly home the next day, which is, of course, the last thing you want to do after you've been in a hospital sick the whole day before, is to then like get up in the air for hours on a plane. You're just like, Jesus Christ. So I'm doing better now, still having to kind of like watch what I eat, because it's unfortunate with like a stomach bug thing. Your gut microbiome gets so affected and so wiped out. And it's like that stuff doesn't always just bounce right back. Like that can really take time to get back to where it needs to be. So anyway, it was, I've had a real, real rough month with health things. And yeah, we're going to talk more about that on an upcoming episode. Actually, I believe the episode that will come out next week, we're going to be talking about it. So anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
There it is.
That was that. That was that.
glad you're feeling better, slowly but surely.
Thank you.
We have an iTunes review of the episode. Yes. This is from Haley.Reynolds1721, and it says, been getting me through some hard times. I started listening the beginning of the pandemic when I was laid off from my job and felt like the world was ending. Over the years, the girls and their guests have implemented comedy with mental health and well-being, and has always been a highlight of my week. As I enter another rough period of life from being blindsided by my partner of 4.5 years leaving, I listened to the episode with Leo Babauta, and I remembered how much this podcast helped me get through the last few years. Thank you for the wonderful content you put out. It truly makes a difference.
Oh my God. Haley.
I'm getting teary eyed.
I know. Oh my God. That was
so sweet. Wow. Thank you, Haley. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you for taking the time to write that. That's so kind.
Yeah. That was so thoughtful of you to take the time to say all of that. And so sorry about the partner leaving and this rough period of time. And just hang in there. It will get better. But yeah, we're so sorry you're going through a hard time, and thank you for listening to the show and wanting to share your love for the show with us. It means the world to us.
Yeah. Sending you a big hug. That resonated. That really hit me in more ways than one. So I want to give you a big hug. You're not alone. You're awesome. And we love you. Yeah, feel free to leave an iTunes review. It will get read. We're all caught up. Like, we've been doing this for years now. So the new ones that you guys are posting, we're seeing it and we're reading them. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Happy New Year. Do something good for yourself today. Start this year off on a good foot.
Oh, yes. It's a new year. Oh,
new year, new you.
Thank baby Jesus. All right, everybody.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Maybe I'm self-helpless.
Thank you for tuning in to the Self-Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com.
We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, left an iTunes review, or feel free to post it on your Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast. Thanks, guys.